Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Dutchess County Executive and Republican gubernatorial candidate Mark Molinaro. Welcome, Mark, and I hope you don't mind my calling you Mark.
No, absolutely, Alan. We've known each other for a number of years. I hope to always be Mark.
That's great. So anyway, you're in it now. We see that Senator DeFrancisco suspends his campaign, and that clears the way for you. And you're not a state legislator. Is that a plus in your campaign?
Well, listen, I served 5 years in the state legislature, having just completed 12 years as a village mayor. You know, I think my overall experience has prepared me well for this campaign, and I hope leading the state of New York. Let me offer to you, though, I have the greatest admiration for John DeFrancisco. I know that he's a strong fighter and a great advocate. I'm grateful that he put his name forward. And I'm grateful that at least on my side of the political aisle, there were a number of people who had expressed interest. You know, but for me, this is about making New York State affordable and making government accessible and work for people. And I think that my experience both in local government and state government, and certainly the last 7 years as a county executive, has hopefully prepared me well, and most importantly, that the voters of the state of New York see that what I bring is really a competency and a compassion necessary to serve as governor of the state.
So, Mark, let me ask you this. It's going to be a tough year. New York is a blue state. Trump is despised in New York State. There is always the problem that there's an undertow here, and the governor has $31 million that we know about in his campaign chest. So how do you win this one?
First, elections are about voters, and I think the people of the state of New York are tired of a state government, in particular a governor, who says one thing and then ultimately allows another to happen. And they know, regardless of party, that New York is more expensive today than it was 7 years ago. We have the highest highest burden of taxation in the country. And beyond that, New York State as a government is just less accountable, and this governor has emboldened a culture of corruption. I mean, you're seeing it on both sides of the aisle. I think that people understand that this governor just doesn't do what he says he's going to do, and at the same time allows, for a corrupt behavior that really has eroded democracy and led to a loss of public faith in government. So, I mean, some of the same anger that people have toward the president, I can tell you, is pointed at the governor as well. He acts in a way that's not becoming, and he speaks in a way that dismisses and degrades people, and it's just not appropriate.
Do you think he should be held responsible for his top aides who are in so much trouble, one of whom is his alleged brother, has ended up with three felony counts, convicted on three felony counts? Should he be held responsible for what somebody else does?
Well, he should be held responsible for what happens in the office adjacent to his. So his aide brought down in this corruption trial, and of course in another month there'll be another corruption trial. And I know we have time, but I'd like to talk a little bit about what led to all of that. But nevertheless,
Go ahead.
Well, no, but he should be held accountable. But worse than that, he claims total ignorance, his aide brought now to justice, ended his tenure, if you will, as a government employee, yet was making hundreds of phone calls and working in the office adjacent to the governor while the governor was in the office. I mean, even his own assistants testified that they knew that this was a sort of a pay-for-play scandal. So, yes, I do. But the broader message, though, Alan, and what I wanted to touch on is just he has allowed and enabled and emboldened this. He has not taken seriously the fact that this state government has, for decades, defined itself as allowing really the worst of human nature to either paralyze or buy decision making. And he came into office, and I was one of the people who thought he was going to sweep in a new day. You know, instead, we have 7 years of this new normal where pay-for-play politics seems to run rampant, where decisions are made without including stakeholders or the public, and millions upon millions of dollars are given to the executive, the governor, to distribute to private interest. All of that really, you know, just continues to embolden, if not, you know, cultivate a culture of corruption. And he has yet to take it seriously. He doesn't take responsibility for it. And I do think it's what's led to a Cynthia Nixon campaign. It's what's led to my getting in the race. And it's what's led to the total loss of faith that the public has in a corrupted and broken state government.
Do you think the fact that Cynthia Nixon is in the race, Mark, is helpful to you now that she has the Working Families Party designation? And there are people who are saying she should get out if he wins the primary. What do you think about all of that?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of inside baseball, and I've tried as an elected official to stay out of that. I usually let the parties and the people make that determination. I just would say that what Cynthia Nixon brings to this race is a legitimate argument that this government and this governor has made it more difficult for families across the state of New York. It is exactly the message that I intend to send. It's what I've lived every day of my life, having served the people of my community in Dutchess County over the last 7 years. I've seen so many families torn apart because of the high cost of living. We see the continued struggles that many have trying to identify mental health and drug addiction services in this state. And we see a state government and a governor that just too often makes decisions based on political expedience. So her candidacy is important because it speaks up. We ought to speak up when our elected officials don't do the job that they claim they're going to do, that they sell access to campaign donors. That's an important thing to do in a democracy. And I would offer, and this is, you know, in response even to your comment about the president, you know, one of the things that we as a society have to recognize is that, you know, we are greatest when we pull together. And that doesn't mean we should ignore our differences. It means that we should make sure that people of different backgrounds, different beliefs, all have a seat at the table. It's what's defined, you know, my service from way back in Tivoli, and you remember those days, to the last 7 years as county executive. This governor degrades, dismisses, and really just downplays anyone who disagrees with him, and it's just not healthy. It erodes democracy, and it means that we are not able to solve the important problems of our day. And I think that we ought to embrace every good idea. You know, ideology doesn't solve problems. Ideas and people do. And I want to be a governor that brings people together, regardless of the political turbulence, to try to address the heavy and important issues facing families and businesses and folks all across the state of New York.
As we speak today, you're in Plattsburgh. But let me ask you this. How do you win in New York City? In order to win this race, you're going to have maybe not a majority in New York, but a lot of people in New York City. And a lot of people don't know about state government. They know about the Cuomo name. How do you overcome that?
Well, I'm hoping that my charm helps.
Any sense of humor?
That's right. That could play too. First, I think the residents and the citizens of the city of New York know that this governor has allowed both the transit system and the state's role in housing just to erode. And they may know the governor's name, but I can tell you that anybody who rides a subway or waits on a platform for a train recognizes that this governor has interfered with the transit authority and has led to really the paralysis of what should be the most robust and responsive and accessible transit system in the world. He continues to make decisions really meant to out-Trump the mayor, and I think that residents and city New York City citizens, you know, recognize and see that. You know, he's been governor for 7 years and sadly only recently realized that subsidized and affordable and accessible housing in this state is eroding and that there are too many families struggling too hard in what are supposed to be state protected, if you will, housing throughout the city and throughout the state. So, you know, I think that there is a recognition that this governor makes decisions based on political expedience. The transit system continues to have its problems, mostly because he's more interested in a press conference than he is in making the system run effectively. The MTA has probably been more influenced politically by this governor than any other, so it's not able to fulfill its mission. and thousands upon thousands of New York City families struggle to access either housing or transportation. And I might add, one of the big concerns I have, of course, within the transit system beyond its incapacity currently to meet the needs, and we need to make a major investment in the basic infrastructure to make sure the system works, but the transit system isn't accessible. So if you're living with a disability in the state of New York, this governor has allowed major investments to occur throughout the transit system without recognition that that's an inaccessible facility. And I think that the residents and citizens of the city of New York recognize that this governor has been making political decisions really based on you know, trying to out-Trump the mayor. And beyond that, has led really to the paralysis of the city's transit system and continued erosion of New York City housing. He's been in office for 7 years and only recently recognized that too many families are living in subsidized housing that is supposed to be preserved and protected by the government, but ultimately is continuing to erode, leaving them in unsafe and unhealthy conditions. You know, I think there's a real question of competency, and I think residents of New York City recognize that. The transit system alone, New York City's transit system is the responsibility of perhaps the largest and most important public authority in the world, the MTA, which is a state entity, and the governor's responsible for that. And New York City citizens recognize that this governor has been spending far too much time taking credit for, you know, big splashes, but isn't necessarily focusing the resources needed to make the investments necessary to make sure the trains run on time. So whether you're, you know, you're waiting on a subway platform or trying to access a transit facility that isn't accessible to someone with a disability, you recognize that for the last 7 years, there hasn't been the serious investment necessary to make sure the transit system works. I mean, New York City should have the most robust, the most responsive, the safest, and the most accessible transit system in the world. And this governor spends far too much time trying to demean and dismiss the mayor and getting in the way of the MTA than necessarily making the investments needed to make the system work. And I've been to the city you know, dozens upon dozens of times talking to residents and talking to business leaders, and I can tell you that they recognize that the governor is responsible for what has been the erosion of the transit system.
But he blames it, as you just mentioned, he blames it all on the mayor.
Well, he obviously doesn't understand the law.
Is that right? Because the law puts it on him, right?
Listen, I don't mean to be snide about it, and I'm not really that way. It's just, you know, yes. We have too many elected officials, and this governor's one of them, that when things go well, they take credit. When things go poorly, they blame someone else. I have always taken responsibility for the worst of what happens. You know, I think that success should be celebrated by everyone, and that failure should be really the responsibility of somebody to try to fix it. The MTA is beholden and a responsibility to the state of New York. It was created that way for a purpose. The transit system and the subway system in the city is the responsibility of the MTA, and the state is its steward. You know, when things go well, the governor's the first to be there for the ribbon cutting. But when there's failure, it's someone else's problem. I just don't subscribe to that. You know, I think with the MTA, what needs to occur is frankly, there needs to be greater independence. This governor interferes politically too often with its decision making. I'd like to see the MTA be able to hire and fire the president and CEO. Right now, the governor hires and can fire the president. So there's really no responsibility, if you will, or no empowerment of the MTA. And I'd like to see that we're making smart investments in the real infrastructure, the switches, the rail lines, the subway stations themselves, the platforms, the accessibility, ADA compliance. Those are the kinds of things that that you do first before you make major expansions. Not to mention, in this state, whatever Alan, you and I can do for a dollar in New York costs 10. So you know, there's got to be a real consideration for the high cost of making projects happen in the city, and this governor's responsible for that.
So I want to go to a word you mentioned before. You said out-Trump. The T word is going to figure heavily in this election. You know they're going to try to make you a Trump lieutenant, saying that Cuomo is the Democrat and you're just a follower of Trump. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think you know I didn't vote for him in 2016, and I don't subscribe to some of the behavior. And frankly, this governor displays some of the very same ugliness that people prescribe to him. I mean, frankly, I just have never believed that dismissing and demeaning people is a way of governing. It's not a governing style. And it's no doubt that Andrew Cuomo wants to talk about the president instead of what has been a 7 years of continued taxation. This state is, again, the highest combined tax burden of any state in America. We continue to lose far too many citizens to other states in this country. And we remain economically sluggish at best. There are too few job opportunities, wage stagnancy. So there's a lot of reasons he doesn't want to talk about what's going on in New York. I want to talk about what's going on in the state of New York, and I want to represent the people of the state of New York. And what I've often said is just as folks sort of admire this trait in him, some feel the president says it the way he sees it. Well, so do I. And when I see it and it's right, I'll say it. And when it's wrong, I won't. But if we think that we're going to govern and solve problems simply by yelling louder, as this governor does, or tweeting meaner, as he allows his staff to do, I just don't see that as an effective way to really serve people. There are real hardworking New Yorkers who just need this state government to effectively help them, and they need opportunity in their communities, they need safe homes, and they need the cost of living to come down so that they can achieve greater success. So I'd stand up to any president, regardless of party, when I thought it was necessary. But I also think it's necessary to ensure that the government functions. And this governor seems to be, lurching from pillar to post to win political points instead of necessarily competently administering state government.
Now, in blue state New York, the assembly is Democratic. It looks to me like the Senate will go Democratic. How do you, as a Republican governor, which you, of course, would be, how do you deal with that?
Well, first, I'm not convinced that happens in the Senate. I do like the nature of checks and balances, and I think upstate New York benefits by having the Republican majority in the Senate and that balance in the two houses. You know, that said, not to diminish the complexities of it, but, Alan, I came from a little place called Tivoli, New York, where Democrats outnumber Republicans, where you run for office without party affiliation. And every day of my public service career has been about bringing people together regardless of party. I have never once asked somebody what their party affiliation was or care. So I think a governor, regardless of party, needs to break through the paralysis of Albany, which means I'm not interested in working only with the senior or majority members of any legislature. I'm interested in working with anybody who honestly and earnestly wishes to make a difference. So that means reaching into the assembly and the Senate and working with good and talented people who maybe don't often have their voices heard because they haven't served long enough or they're not in the majority. I mean, for instance, and it was an awful example that this governor perpetuated until it wasn't good enough for him. And that was there's no reason Andrea Stewart Cousins shouldn't be involved in the dialogue necessary to create sexual harassment policy. A female leader of the state Senate should be part of the conversation. Why not? Well, because this governor perpetuates the three men in the room policy, which has led to total paralysis and decisions made in the dark of night. I also think you reach past the elected officials. You know, there are countless New Yorkers who have great ideas who too often aren't heard. And they just want to be a part of the conversation. So instead of rushing to get legislation done or forcing a budget down in someone's throat in the middle of the night, I think you build consensus. You reach out into the community and lift people up. I think that's important. It's how I've led as an executive, and it's how I've served as a state legislator. It's how I live my life as a dad and a son and a husband. And I think that's the way that we bring the state together. Perpetuating tribalism isn't a good idea.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to ask you about. I've known you for a long time and had great respect for you. And
I appreciate that. And
I wanted to know something about ethics. The governor rides into office, says he's going to clean up Albany. In fact, it's worse than ever. What would you do on ethics reform? And I only got about 7 more minutes, so I want to be careful and hoard your time. What do you think?
I'm taking up too much time in my answers. Three things, I think, immediately. One, move forward with an independent ethics commission. There's no question that we need an independent watchdog. And within that, and I've said this before, I think you also empower the Committee on Open Government to ensure transparency so that there is a public watchdog. And you know Bob Freeman, but my idea is to make sure that the public and others, you, the media, have access to documents, to decisions, and to data. So independent ethics commission, empower a Freedom of Information and Public Access watchdog. I also believe in the procurement reforms that the comptroller has put forward, because we've put too much money and too much power in the hands of the governor. So there needs to be much greater transparency, competitive bidding, and accountability in the expense of public funds. And within that, I'd also freeze the expense of any dollar to any private interest, an outright check from the state of New York to any private interest without those procurement policies going into effect, because it's bred corruption and this governor has allowed it to happen. And the third is term limits. I've not always been the biggest fan, because I think voters should pick their elected officials, but I support and want to impose term limits. I'll do it by lead by example and hold myself to 2 4-year terms. But I think that those three steps immediately are necessary. And then, Alan, I've got 20 minutes more of what I think are details that will, I hope, hold the state government accountable. But it is, by the way, it is so important, because it is this culture of corruption that is costing New York taxpayers far too much.
And the canceling out of the Moreland Act Commission, that was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It was. And the arrogance oozed from the governor's office, frankly. I mean, he declared himself the government. He said, "I am the government." And he went on to say, "This is my commission. I can get rid of it." You know, it was necessary to empower an ethics group to really root out corruption. And when they found out that it was close to the governor's office, it ceased. And now fast forward to the Prococo corruption trial, and the governor claims he has no idea about any of this. Well, then why did the Moreland Commission not continue its work? Why have you not made the procurement reforms necessary? Why have you not empowered an independent ethics commission? Why haven't you, by the way, allowed the attorney general or others to investigate what taxpayer resources Joe Prococo was using in the office next to yours for the months that he was in that office, not as an employee? Why have we allowed sexual harassment to occur at the Department of Criminal Justice Services, and women who had the courage to step forward have been dismissed? One is working in a closet while the perpetrator continues, the commissioner allows this culture to occur. Why are those things not being confronted? Is it because of bad press? Is it because of incompetence? At the end of the day, I just want this government to be effective and people to believe again that New York State can be and is the greatest state in the nation.
Again, I want to come back to Trump. How do you get that monkey off your back?
You know, I answered that question, Alan. I recognize the burden, but I'm also an independent man. My decision making and the way in which I hope to govern is by empowering people, and I just don't think that this governor displays any greater attribute than those that he applies to the president. At the end of the day, I just really feel that New Yorkers want and are desperate for something that they can believe in, and I promise them that I am going to be an independent governor who serves them. I grew up a poor kid. Food stamps put dinner on our table. I wasn't raised in a political family. I've worked every day of my life. One of my jobs was mucking horse stalls. I think that might prepare me well for returning to Albany. But at the end of the day, I just love the work. Public service is an important and dignified duty, and I will uphold it every day of the week to ensure that this state and its people have the greatest opportunity to succeed and to achieve.
Talk to me a little, Mark Molinaro. We have a few seconds left about DACA. And bringing young people, giving citizenship to young people who, through no fault of their own, got brought to the United States and have made great contributions. What do you do about that?
Congress and the federal government has to solve it. You're not going to round people up. We ought not, and send them to places, frankly, that weren't their home to begin with. But this is, again, a paralysis of the federal and state government, and we see it. I mean, this governor isn't necessarily interested in working to achieve a problem. He just wants to politicize it. So at the end of the day, Congress, whether it's a Democrat or Republican Congress and the president for generations, has avoided the important conversations about border security and immigration. And those two things need to happen in order for us as a society to effectively live. People should not live in fear, no matter where they are or where they came from. This federal government needs to address immigration comprehensively, and just hasn't. But the governor's not interested in seeing a solution. If he was, he'd be working toward a solution. But instead, he wants to politicize it. I want New Yorkers, regardless of where they come from, to know that their government will protect their interests. That if you live honestly and safely, and you don't live committing crimes in this state, we want to protect you. We want to ensure that you can achieve success. And as a nation, we ought to be sure that everyone has the opportunity to succeed.
Mark Molinaro, I want to congratulate you on what you're doing. I think it's terrific. I've known you for a long, long time, and I have great respect for you. And I know this is not going to be an easy race, but again, I want to congratulate you for having the guts to get into it. I think it's a great thing for New York democracy. So thanks for doing it.
Thank you, Alan. It's necessary, and I appreciate it.